This year marks the 25th anniversary of Screen Australia's Indigenous Unit, the result of which has seen memorable works emerge and the careers of significant filmmakers develop. We asked Daniel Browning from ABCRN's Away program to reflect on this anniversary.
Well, the Indigenous Department at Screen Australia can certainly take credit for the kind of, you know, panoply of Indigenous voices we have in film at the moment and so many faces on screen. I mean, people often talk about the missing black faces on television. And now they're saying this, if anything, there's a slight overrepresentation, 5% of roles on television taken by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander actors. I wouldn't say that's over-representation. What I would say is that what we're doing is catching up after years of silence and radio silence in terms of Indigenous representation on our screens. Well, I think one of the major developments, certainly in television in terms of small screen Indigenous representation, just the series Bush Mechanics in the late 90s, and early 2000s, incredible series, although not directed by an Indigenous person. Obviously, all the cast members were Indigenous. And I think Bush Mechanics really set the scene. People have tried to kind of repeat the success of Bush Mechanics. We have a series called Black As. But, you know, I think it really created an audience. It really put these kind of stories of misadventure in the outback and comedy too on the agenda.
McCann noticed you weren't singing again.
I have never stood up for that song.
You're living like a white fella. You can't pick and choose when it suits you.
Do you think because you're Aboriginal that I won't expel you?
Our parents are right behind us.
We can see the kind of development from Bush Mechanics through to the series Red for Now. I mean, you know, a series of vignettes. You get that sense of pulling back the curtain and seeing life inside, you know, what was largely an Aboriginal suburb, you know, Redfern, at the centre of so much political activity during the 1960s and 70s, right up until now. It's still, you know, largely defined as a black suburb. And, you know, I think there's Redfern now, but I also think there's Inala now, there's Fitzroy now, all these stories that reside in the city.
What are you going to do with yourself?
I don't know. What to do then?
It's not just films and series on television. It's also individual careers that I think have been certainly buoyed by the Indigenous Department at Screen Australia. And one of those careers is that of the filmmaker Ivan Sen. Now, he's this kind of auteur, this kind of artist who does everything. He does cinematography, he writes, he directs, he composes the music. And although, you know, Screen Australia didn't fund, I don't think, the very first feature-length film from him, Beneath Clouds, it has followed up with Tumala in 2011, the film of Mystery Road, which became a TV series, and another film in that franchise, the J. Swan franchise, a film called Goldstone. In terms of the individual career of a filmmaker, you can't go past the support that the Indigenous Department of Screen Australia has given to Warwick Thornton. Now, they funded Samson and Delilah, you know, that famous head kick of a film, a real punch in the face as I describe it. an absolute kind of turning point, I think, in the telling of Indigenous stories in this country. And it comes along in 2009, or certainly released in 2009. And what you can see after that in terms of the funding of Indigenous stories and the proliferation of Indigenous stories, it really takes off. But you can see, you know, after Samson and Delilah, a certain flowering. And, you know, he hit a very high mark with that film. But I think the documentary, We Don't Need a Map, of just last year, or very recently, is also returning to that, but in a completely new way. There was kind of, you know, I wasn't so thrilled with The Dark Side, a series of vignettes, a series of stories, kind of, you know, Aboriginal horror, I suppose you'd call it. But with We Don't Need a Map, you can see an extraordinary documentary storyteller.
G'day, Australia. My name's Warwick Fulton. How you going? A couple of years ago, I got a little bit angry and I said, I think the Southern Cross is becoming the new swastika. It got me in a bit of trouble.
Everybody just completely lost their minds.
Somehow it resonates deep.
That's why I'm making this film, I guess.
He tells the story of the Southern Cross from so many different perspectives, from history, from cosmology, from astronomy, from, you know, Aboriginal spirituality. Incredible, incredible film.
One night the moon came a-wheeling by on a big bike right across the night sky. One night the moon came wheeling by, called all the sleepers to come for a ride.
One Night the Moon, which is directed by Rachel Perkins, another extraordinary, for me, an extraordinary film. I mean, told in the Flinders Ranges, you know, this missing child, the kind of lost child trope, I guess you'd call it, in filmmaking, but particularly relevant in Australian visual culture, you know, this disappeared white child kind of eaten by the outback. And Rachel beautifully plays on that kind of paranoia and that fear. And it's just so brooding, this film. The music, normally you'd be like, this is, it's not a serious film because there's so much music in it, you know what I mean?
Once I knew how the world worked, you earned your bread, said your prayers well. You loved your own, you helped your neighbor. No, I don't know anything anymore. Once I knew what was wrong and right, God was good, black was never white. Once I knew.
Obviously, Paul Kelly singing in one of the main roles and acting. But yeah, an extraordinary story, which was later adapted for the stage, a bit kind of backward because, you know, there was the film came along first and then the stage production. But Rachel, what can I say about her? She's a voice, she's making, enabling other films to be made. Just one of a number of names of directors who've made extraordinary films over the past 15 to 20 years. Wayne Blair, Darlene Johnson also has to be mentioned. Warwick Thornton, of course, I've talked about. And filmmakers emerging all the time. And what you can see, I think, if you look over the history of the Indigenous Department of Screen Australia, you know, and I've heard there was no budget when it was the Indigenous branch of the Australian Film Commission. What you can see now is this plethora of stories being told. You know, yeah, not all of them hit the mark. Not all of them are great stories. Not all of them do that well. But certainly what I think has happened is that in making films and finding an audience and convincing people that there is a market and an audience for these stories that have wide appeal, the ripple effect is that there are more stories. And I think that's the mark of its success.
When the western skies blaze and the sun lays down to rest, when the curtain
Daniel Browning from the ABC's Indigenous Programs Unit, reflecting on Screen Australia's Indigenous Department, which is celebrating 25 years. Head to screenaustralia.org.au if you'd like to look more over the history and development of this very important department. And if you want to get in touch about this or any other of the Hub on Screen stories you're hearing, you can drop us an email at thehub@abc.net.au. That's thehub@abc.net.au, or leave a comment on the Hub on Screen website.